So we're here in the lobby. You guys ready to go to work?
Yeah, I guess I gotta go walk through Times Square. And yes. What a trial that is. It's almost a full 10 minutes to get to the theater. Although, Now it's a Friday night.
Yeah.
So it must be said, when we do the morning matinees or even the weeknight shows, it's a 10-minute walk at best. Now, our experience last weekend is it's a throng of masses yearning to breathe free in Times Square. But it wasn't raining last weekend. Today it's drizzly, so we'll see.
What's the over-under for how long it's going to take us?
Well, we're chatting, I think.
Dear.
I don't know, 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah, let's just not digress too much.
Right.
Here we go, on our way.
Another day at the office.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 171, Walking to Work. We just finished our sold-out run of the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged, Revised at the New Victory Theater in New York City, and it's been a complete thrill, not only playing in such a historic theater, but just the joy and privilege of working and performing in New York City and staying in a hotel right in the heart of the theater district. We kept the microphone running last Friday as we walked to the New Victory for the 7 o'clock show, and we chatted about how much the city has changed.
Yeah, the weather's been pretty good. We've been pretty lucky. We missed the snow, but we also missed spring, and it's not spring yet.
Yeah, we have been lucky. I think when we arrived, there was snow on the ground.
Yeah,
it was very cold, and I can tell you the Martin boys and my bride and my dad were here with me, and the Martin boys loved having a little bit of snow on the ground, and I loved the fact that it melted 3 days later, and we had a very warm week.
Yeah, unlike Madison, Wisconsin in December, this snow knows how to melt.
Right. Well, yeah. But again, we missed it. You know, New Yorkers are going, you guys are babies, but you're lucky you missed it all. Now, as it happens, we all lived here in the late 80s, individually, not together, but we did. Yeah. And it's really cleaned up and changed, hasn't it?
Well, it is. I lived in Park Slope in Brooklyn in 86, 87. I was talking to a friend today who I went to college with, and he still lives here and lived here then. And I said, then everything felt vaguely dangerous all the time. And now no place feels dangerous, hardly ever.
Well, yeah. I felt I had that same feeling of imminent danger, but that was not helped by the fact that I lived in Fort Greene on the edge of Bed-Stuy. You ever see Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing? That was my neighborhood.
That was you.
Yeah, that was me.
I recognize you.
That was me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I lived...
As the white guy who got beat up. No, just the once.
Stepped on the guy's shoes or whatever.
Yeah, just the once.
Right. Well, I mean, we had a similar experience, I guess. I mean, I bounced around. I was in Brooklyn. I had a really groovy pad on 5th Avenue and 10th Street just above Benetton's. There were two of us living in a studio we weren't supposed to be two, but we snuck my roommate Tiger in.
That's how you do it in New York.
That's how you do it. You got to get by.
Oh, okay. So here's Chris.
Yeah.
Chris sells tickets to comedy shows here in Times Square.
Oh, yeah.
And I was walking past him one day. He goes, Are you Justin Reed? He said, Are you Justin Martin? I said, Reed Martin. He goes, Yeah, Reduced Shakespeare Company. I'm coming to see your show tonight. And so here he is out here. Let's get his spiel.
How you guys doing? Where are you guys from?
California.
Houston. Okay. Yeah. Houston?
Yeah.
Okay, so California and Houston.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. So you guys like comedy at all?
It's a living. It's a living.
Yeah, no, I hate it.
I'm sorry. So him free. How about you guys?
We're all right.
I can be swayed.
We're all right. Talking. You got real comedy, or are you hawking some comedians we've never heard of?
No, actually, we're one out of three comedy clubs in the city that do not allow any amateurs whatsoever on our stage.
Ooh,
we are the Broadway Comedy Club right on 53rd. You have to have TV credits before you come on our show.
What?
So, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's cool. Wow. So that lets out the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
We
won't be performing there. So thanks so much. Thanks a lot.
You guys are not on TV. PBS. Yeah,
that's right.
PBS counts as TV. Yeah.
I've watched TV. Okay. Does that count?
Yes, it does.
Cool. All right, we're in like Flynn.
I know. No, really. Like, I can't get every day, you guys.
Can't get away from.
I know.
I love you guys.
A
okay, here we are. You know, we're now reaching Times Square.
Right.
Now I don't know about you guys, but when I was here, you know, I had loads of friends in this area, Hell's Kitchen, as they call it.
Right.
And
no, they call it Times Square, don't they?
Times Square. Yes, yeah. Yes. But just over here in this direction, Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
You know, just west of here, was full of, you know, weirdo freaks and lowlifes and artists and worse actors. And, but now,
ooh, let's go over here.
Like you're saying, this is all cleaned up. This is no longer Hell's Kitchen.
No.
I mean, this is more a Betty Crocker kitchen or
this
something.
This is Heaven's Family Room.
This is Heaven's Family Room.
Yeah.
Well, and not only have, I mean, they have the, here's the TKTS booth, the famous TKTS booth.
What happens there, Austin?
You can buy half price tickets to Broadway and off Broadway shows. It's really a great thing. But this is a brand new booth. They started it as an experiment when the 70s or the 80s,
yeah.
And it's become such an institution that gave it a permanent structure here, and it's really great. But they've also redirected the traffic. Have you noticed that on 7th and Broadway? There's now, I mean, they've made this area this kind of, and technically this is not Times Square. This is Father Duffy Square, where the TKTS booth, but they've turned it into a kind of a pedestrian mall, which is actually very, very cool.
Yeah, they shut off traffic on like half of a. Well, several lanes in both directions.
Yeah.
So you're not quite so jammed. You're still fairly jammed, but not so packed shoulder to shoulder on every sidewalk around.
Well, there have been several times we've been trying to walk to the show, and it's been like New Year's Eve here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just thousands and thousands
every day
of tourists.
New Year's Eve here.
And we're standing here now in what people consider to be Times Square, but Father Duffy Square.
Yeah.
And we're looking at the famous
Toshiba
New Year's ball that drops in Times Square. And I don't think they used to do this. They leave it up there all year round now, and it says 2010.
Oh, right. Above the Toshiba Tower,
up there.
And I'm sure you remember this, right? I mean, just looking around, this is just gobsmacking, right? Looking around, all of this, yes, there were signs. It's always been famous for all the signage.
All the neon.
But, I mean, they now call them super signs. And this was part of the 42nd Street development project. And the subsequent deals that were done is that with a lot of the new structures, new buildings, came like 12-story tall advertisement space.
Yeah.
Screens. It's all, I mean, it's way more high-tech than
it's
was.
It's not even signs. It's television.
It's television.
I know.
They're showing full commercials or clips from television shows.
They're all moving images. And you would think it would be more obnoxious than it is. But I mean, but
is it not?
Well, no, but Times Square, they've always done that. This has always been state of the art signage.
Yeah.
I mean, even back to the teens and the 20s.
Well, we see pictures of that when we've seen pictures of 42nd Street in the 10s and 20s and 30s. I mean, I used to think Leicester Square was full of signage or when I went to Tokyo. But now
or Piccadilly, you mean?
I'm sorry. Yeah, not Leicester Square, Piccadilly.
Yeah, Sanyo
Piccadilly Circus.
Foster.
This is the most I've seen anywhere.
Yeah, maybe even more than Vegas.
Yeah, this is intense. I mean, you need to just kind of sit down and take a deep breath before you proceed.
Well, and they've got tables. I mean, they've got, if you've got a cup, I mean, there's, you know, you swing a dead cat and you'll hit 10 Starbucks, but they've got all these tables around here. You can sit here, and if not tonight, because it's kind of pissing rain now that I think about it, now that I notice. You know, but here, this statue right here, this is one of my favorite statues in Father Duffy Square. Here, right here, it's a statue of Broadway veteran playwright, lyricist, performer Harvey Fierstein. Harvey Fierstein. You know, because see, there's
what's that song he wrote?
He
over
wrote that.
There,
over there, and you're a grand old
No, it's flag, Austin. Flag.
Oh, it says flag.
What were you?
Oh, this is not Harvey.
Oh, no. That's George M. Cohan.
I thought it was Harvey Fierstein.
Lindsay's great grandfather.
Lindsay Cohan.
Yeah,
yeah. I thought it was Harvey Fierstein because it's a grand old. Oh, never mind. It doesn't matter what it means. All right, moving on. Nothing to see here.
Howdy. This is Bruce Goldstone, author of Great Estimations, and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? Well, we're off around the country. Well, this country, the United States. To California, Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, New Hampshire, upstate New York, New Jersey, Virginia, and then back to San Diego Repertory Theater and the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. in June. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for specific venue and ticket information. And It's feedback time now. 2 weeks ago, in podcast 169, our featured creature, I made a crack about, quote, Republican jerks, unquote, who attack Hollywood folks as values challenged. And listener Beth Kensinger quite appropriately called me on it. She sent us an email that says, really? You had to go there? Republican jerks? I love the company, love the podcast, have been a fan since seeing you at the Kennedy Center, lo these many years ago, but come on, it's just lazy, not funny or illuminating, and a tad disrespectful of your upcoming audiences. Looking forward to seeing you in Salina, Kansas, where my Republican family will be driving 2 hours for the privilege. Well, Beth is quite right, and I do apologize for offending anybody. In my mind, my emphasis was on the jerks part, and not Republicans, and obviously not all Republicans are jerks. Some RSC members, some of my own relatives are Republicans. I just meant the jerky ones who reflexively, or worse, cynically, attack showbiz folk as morally challenged, family-destroying, child-corrupting divas. Now, admittedly, some of us are that, but not all of us. That distinction was very clear in my head, but obviously not quite so clear coming out of my mouth. And those usually Republicans who make these attacks, there are certainly jerks in both parties who try to raise their stature by attacking Hollywood. I would lump Joe Lieberman into that group as a Democratic jerk, or independent jerk, or whatever the heck he calls himself now. You could argue that Tipper Gore was a Democratic jerk for her crusade about rock lyrics. But Beth was absolutely right to call me on it. I used a chainsaw when I think a scalpel will have been more precise. If you have any feedback, please send us an email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. And now back through our journey through the heart of all that is sinful and decadent, cultural and wonderful and theatrical New York City.
As we look up and down this, 42nd, 41st, 43rd, we see the different shows that are running in the Heights. We went to see that, some of us, and it was just great.
Yeah. Some of us went to see A Behanding in Spokane, Martin McDonough's play with Christopher Walken and Sam Rockwell, and yeah. I thought the cast was slightly better than the play. One of his greater works, I think.
I see Adam's Family down here. Which is in previews. We haven't seen that yet.
The new Twilight Tharp musical with lyrics by Frank Sinatra. I take it it's his old work.
Yeah. I think that kid's going to go places, that Frank Sinatra kid. What else did we see? A lot of us saw Next to Normal.
Which was just great.
It won the Tony last year.
Directed by Michael Greif, who was 1 year ahead of me at UC San Diego in graduate school, and has done well for himself.
He's going to go places too, that Michael Greif kid.
I think so. Took the family to see Lion King.
Ooh, Lion King. Yes, after a 10-year break. No, you saw it?
Yes, I saw it about 10 years ago, the first national tour in L.A., which was a little more impressive because it was a bigger stage. I think the show's been downsized to fit into the Minskoff Theater now, so the pageantry is a bit reduced.
That's weird to think of Lion King being downsized for the Minskoff, because I think the Minskoff was one of the bigger theaters.
Yeah, it's not as big as the, what would I see it in L.A., the Pantages?
Yeah.
I think the stage might be 2/3 the size.
Well, the Next to Normal I see down there is playing at the Booth, and that's where I saw the original production of Sunday in the Park. George and I went, and we really liked it.
Good. Just up the street, Ali and Elaine and I went to see Time Stands Still, the new Donald Margulies play, with Eric Bogosian, Alicia Silverstein, Laura Linney, and Brian Darcy James.
Right.
It's just a cool name. It was very good, very interesting. It made me think that I really need to start writing plays, because if Donald can get one like that done in Broadway, then I think I could.
Pull back those claws, Rippy. Wow.
Sorry. Does he follow us? Does he tweet?
Yeah, he's a big fan. Oh, Donald Margulies, big fan. Big fan in the sense that he doesn't know who the hell we are.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good.
Last night, the good thing, one of the very good things among the many of performing the new Vic is we have more evenings off than normal because we're doing daytime shows for families and children.
Yeah.
So last night I went to see the Worcester Group. I saw Frances McDormand and
Mrs. Cohen. She's married to George M. Cohen.
Yes.
Joel Cohen.
She's married to Harvey Fierstein.
Yeah, one of the Cohen brothers.
And Maura Tierney in the Worcester Group's North Atlantic, which was a roller coaster ride of avant-garde theater. That was fun. And in contrast to what I saw the night before, which was the middle of the Horton Foote Orphan's Home Cycle trilogy, which was beautiful and touching and melancholy. Very nice.
You also saw the new Our Town that everybody's kind of raving about.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed. I'm the only one. It's gotten raves from everybody. But I saw... a great production of Our Town at UC San Diego. Alan Schneider, who was a very famous professional director, was teaching at UCSD, and I think he directed the best production of Our Town ever. And so this was a good production. But I didn't, it was just slightly, excuse me, I didn't remember eating that. I don't remember, I don't think it was as good as the one I saw at UCSD. Not
well,
quite.
I think it's a hard play to do, because it has a lot of, it's you got to be really, really super sincere and unironic.
Yeah, it did succeed in not being sentimental and not being ironic. It just a couple of the actors had a little bit of an urban energy that didn't feel like,
oh, interesting, yeah.
Didn't feel like New Hampshire in 1900 to me.
Well, you know what we were talking about, that we had, our schedule here at the New Victory has been weird, because, I mean, good weird. It's been, we've done 3 student shows per week at 11 o'clock. That's been sort of ungodly, but all right, 11 o'clock. Then, and that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we have, and then we have, then we have a Friday show at 7, this is where we're walking to now, and then Saturday and Sunday at 2 and 7 and noon and 7.
Noon and 5.
Right, and then, right, and noon and 5. And, but and we were talking, so that's 6 shows in 56 hours.
Ah.
So from 11 on Friday to 7 p.m. Sunday night. That's 6 shows in 56 hours. So one every whatever that is, whatever the math is on that. But what were we saying? Then we got Monday and Tuesday off.
2 days off and
full
a lot of evenings off.
I would
do that trade on a regular basis. Yeah. I like the schedule.
Can we convince other theaters to do this schedule?
Yeah, absolutely. And let's do this every year at the New Victory, please, can we?
We're here.
Yes.
So now we're crossing,
43rd.
We're going to the stage door.
Yes. Stage door. Now, it's interesting about this block of 43rd. This block of 43rd between, where are we? Oh, between 7th and 8th is, it's like an alleyway. Because
it's back alley.
It's a huge back alley, really, because it has the stage doors for all the theaters on 42nd and 44th.
Right.
Or many of them. You know, so there's nothing on, there's no theater with frontage on this street.
And hardly any traffic.
Because there's no reason to come down here.
Yeah.
And this is the back of the original New York Times building.
Oh, right. Yeah, beautiful building.
Which we could see from the rooftop during our little tour of the New Victory.
Yeah. We got a tour of the historic New Victory, which will be, we did an audio tour of the New Victory, so that'll be a podcast in a few weeks.
Yeah. And we are here.
We are here so now at the stage door. That
ooh.
Was how many minutes?
Ooh, 7, 8, 9, 15 minutes.
15 minutes exactly. Yes. With digressions in Times Square.
Not that much longer than usual.
15 minutes to walk here. At 15, I think, let's see. Yeah, 1995, this theater first opened in its new revised, renovated form in 1995. I think September, December 1995.
Yeah.
So 15 years down the road, the Reduced Shakespeare Company arrived. I think this is a turning point in the
history. It's about time.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your commute stories via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, comedy hustler Matthew Crowe, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Tiago Santos in Mexico City. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to children's book author Bruce Goldstone, author of Great Estimations, Greater Estimations, and The Beastly Feast, among many others. Check out his entire oeuvre at brucegoldstone.com. Thanks also to fan and comedy club ticket salesman Chris Fretto for playing along. Very special thanks to all the folks at the New Victory Theater who took such great care of us. We hope you'll have us back. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 171/513 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
All right, we're here.
Okay.
Let's go to work.
Okay, let's go to work. Let's bring joy to literally hundreds. So we walk down the steps.
Farewell, Pete.
You know, here's another thing how this theater reminds me of the Criterion Theater in London, is that it's all nice and fresh and clean backstage, unlike most New York and London theaters, which have been around forever and are a bit decrepit.
Yeah, and haven't seen a renovation since, you know, the late 60s.
Yeah, and here, 1866. And here, the only decrepit things are us.
That's right.
Boy.
podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.